Hello, Luma Digest with me, Noura. Monday the 18th of May, afternoon edition. So here's what has been happening in the world of robotics this week. And I need to tell you about a table tennis match. Sony built a robot called Ace. It played against three elite table tennis players. Not in a controlled demo, not with simplified rules. Standard table, standard paddles, full rallies, and it won. Now, the reason this matters is not the scoreboard. It's what had to work for that scoreboard to happen. Ace uses event-based vision sensors to track spin approaching 9,000 revolutions per minute. It runs reinforcement learning trained across millions of virtual rallies. It has a seven-jointed arm that recalculates trajectories every few milliseconds. And it does all of this while adapting to opponents who are free to use any shot they want. Any speed, any placement, any spin, that's the sim-to-real gap closing. Right there, on a regulation table, manufacturers are watching this. Because what works for table tennis works for assembly lines, warehouses, and surgical suites. Real-time prediction under uncertainty. Adaptation without perfect information. Movement that adjusts mid-action. Think about what that unlocks. Now to something equally concrete. Boston Dynamics just published a video showing Atlas lifting a mini fridge. And yes, I know, another Atlas demo. But this one's different. Because this time, they showed us how it learns. The robot uses reinforcement learning with robust dynamic controls. It braces itself to handle mass shifts. It adjusts grip pressure in real time as weight distribution changes. And it demonstrates movement ranges that exceed human capability. Not because it's stronger, because it can bend and rotate in ways our bodies cannot. Alberto Rodriguez, director of robot behavior for Atlas, describes this as a shift from the lab into dynamic industrial settings. And he's right, because the breakthrough is not the lift itself, it's the underlying system, the ability to account for inertia, friction, and unpredictable center of mass shifts on the fly. These are not one-off feats, they are the leading edge of a wave. And here's where it gets really interesting. Fraunhofer IPA just published a six-part benchmark for testing humanoid robots, technology, complex abilities, cleanroom suitability, functional safety, cybersecurity, energy efficiency. They tested the Unitree G1 and found it stable on difficult surfaces, but they also found it too strong for safe human collaboration. It can exert 500 plus newtons on impact, and it lacks the dexterity humans take for granted. The benchmark exists precisely because manufacturers need transparent, comparable data before deploying these systems at scale. Because nobody is deploying a robot that can accidentally hospitalize a warehouse worker. Nobody is deploying a system that cannot be audited for cybersecurity. And nobody is deploying hardware that fails after 6 months because the energy efficiency maths did not work. What we are seeing here is the transition from demos to production. And production means standards, safety testing, and real-world performance metrics. Right, let me shift gears completely. Over to voices and thought leaders. And this one's a bit of a reality check. Uber and Service now exhausted their 2026 token budgets in 4 months. Not 2025, 2026. They burned through next year's allocation before summer. 71% of companies exceeded their AI budgets in 2025. Enterprise monthly AI spending grew 36% to hit $85,000 on average, and 50% of finance leaders now name cost management as their primary AI concern. Let that sink in, because here's what's happening. Teams adopted AI tools fast, really fast. They integrated them into workflows, spun up agents, started using multimodal models for everything from customer support to code review. And nobody tracked the token spend properly until the bills arrived. Now CFOs are asking questions, and the questions are not comfortable. What are we getting for this spend? Can we justify it? Do we need to pull back? The takeaway here is brutal but necessary. If you are building on token-based APIs, you are building on someone else's pricing schedule. And that schedule just changed the maths for every team that thought AI was a solved cost problem. Have a think about what that means for your own roadmap. Now, Jack Clark's Import AI newsletter landed this week with something that made me sit up. A 20-year-old virus that sabotaged high-precision calculation software. It targeted scientific and engineering systems. It did not crash them. It made them produce slightly wrong answers. That's terrifying, because you do not know you have been compromised. You just know your results are off. And if you are designing bridges, medical devices, or aircraft components, slightly wrong is catastrophic. Jack also covered a newly discovered bug in the muon optimizer that kills neurons during training, and a position paper on positive alignment. Not just safety, not just preventing harm, but building AI systems that help humans flourish. That last bit is worth your time, because the safety conversation has been necessary, but it has also been narrow. Positive alignment asks a bigger question. What does it look like when AI makes life genuinely better? Not just less risky, better. Something to think about on the way home. Right, builders and platforms next. And this is the bit I have been waiting to talk about. Anthropic engineers Ash Prabaker and Andrew Wilson just published a guide on building agents that run for hours without losing the plot. And the insights here are gold. First, self-evaluation traps agents. If you let an agent grade its own work, it will convince itself it succeeded even when it failed. The fix? Adversarial evaluators, external systems that do not trust the agent's self-assessment. Second, context compaction does not work. Summarizing previous steps loses critical detail. The better approach? Structured handoffs. Pass explicit state between stages. Make the context legible, not compressed. Third, agents lie, not maliciously, but they hallucinate success. They report task completion when the task is half done or entirely failed. So you need verification steps that check the actual output, not the agent's report. And fourth, trace-based debugging is the primary development loop. You cannot debug agents by reading prompts. You need to see what they actually did, step by step, decision by decision. This is the practical engineering work that makes agents reliable, not the demos, the debugging. Tejas Kumar from IBM built something similar. He calls it a harness, guardrails, verify steps, login handlers, context management. He built a browser agent on GPT 3.5 Turbo that learned to handle login pages without touching the prompt. The harness did the work, and Incident.io discovered they needed AI to debug their AI-driven SRE system. They built a CLI for agents to edit eval YAML. They serialized debugging views as file systems so Claude could analyze them, and they parallelized 25 agents to surface systemic failure patterns. What all three of these stories have in common is this. Reliability does not come from better models, it comes from better infrastructure around the models. The models are the engine, the harness is the chassis, the brakes and the steering. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Robots are moving into real work, not demos, not labs, real industrial environments with real safety requirements and real economic stakes. The standards are being written now, the benchmarks are being published now, and the companies that move first with proper testing and transparent data are the ones that will deploy at scale. On the AI side, the token bills just arrived, and they are bigger than anyone budgeted for. That changes the maths, it changes what tools get adopted, what features get built, and how teams think about cost versus capability. And in the builder world, the engineering work that matters most is not the model, it is the infrastructure that makes the model reliable. Harnesses, handoffs, verification, debugging, the unsexy stuff that actually ships. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. And that's your Luma Digest for today. Thanks for being here. I will see you next time.